Today on Life Talk.
The good works the world involves itself in are inexorably, inevitably, inescapably tainted with sin, because until you're born again, you're always operating in a sin nature. But the good works that a believer involves him or herself in are always to the glory of God. I'm doing this in the name of Jesus, to the glory of God. I'm doing this as a representative of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
You are listening to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire, the founder and senior pastor of Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. Maybe you've noticed that our culture is pretty messed up these days, which makes people feel anxious who are filled with questions. They want peace, but have a hard time finding it or making it last. Well, Pastor Jeff is going to share in the message today about how you can finally be filled with hope, security, and most importantly, that peace you're looking for. Today's message is just for you. You can also listen to it again or any of the messages anytime you would like at our website, lifetalkradio.us. Let's go ahead and get right to the message. Here's Pastor Jeff to tell us what's coming up today on Life Talk.
One of my favorite things about the Apostle Paul's letters to the churches is the final nuggets of wisdom he always includes in the end. The book of Titus is no different. It is rich with wise instruction and unforgettable one-liners that are like a cherry on top of a chocolate sundae. If you've enjoyed our walk through Titus, don't miss the final mile as we begin with verse 8 in chapter 3 and Paul's exhortation to become involved in good works, avoid silly, useless arguments, and how to avoid divisive people. So grab that Bible and follow along as I share the message, Final Nuggets, from our series out of Titus. Last time in the first half of Titus chapter 3, we looked at what Paul meant by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. And we also discussed the power of the word justified and how being justified carries more weight than just being forgiven. Because you can be forgiven and still face consequences. But when you're justified, you're acquitted. And there's no more consequences. So we've not only been forgiven by God, we've been justified. So there's no consequences, eternally speaking, for our sin. We're going to go to heaven. Amen? Now, in the second half of chapter 3, we're going to look at some final nuggets of wisdom, as I said, as Paul wraps up his letter to young Titus, and we're going to begin with verse 8. So chapter 3, verse 8, here we go, the book of Titus. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly. Now, the things he wants Titus to affirm are the powerful truths he just mentioned regarding God's mighty work in the hearts of his children. I'll name them again. The washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Spirit, justification by faith, and being made heirs of eternal life. He said, I want you to repeat this and repeat it and repeat it and constantly affirm these things. Never stop talking about them, Titus. And I hear it from me. Jeff, as a pastor, never stop talking about these things. Amen? Repeat them. Never let them fade from your congregation's memory. Repeat these truths often. Then in the second half of verse 8, Paul instructs Titus to remind the saints that those who have believed in God, this is verse 8, chapter 3, second half, those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. Now, this is the third mention, folks, of the importance of good works in just 10 verses. Three times in 10 verses, he tells Christians to be involved in good works, to maintain good works, to remember to be involved in good works to the glory of God. Now, there is a distinct difference between good works that the world involves itself in and the good works that a Christian involves him or herself in. Because when the world does a good work, it's always tainted with sin. Always. Have you ever noticed, for instance, that when a millionaire or a billionaire decides to give a bunch of money to somebody, have you ever noticed how they figure out some way to let the media know? You ever notice that? Why? Because they want what they did to be trumpeted, because they really did it for their own glory. But what did Jesus say? When you do a good work, don't even let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. Or your left hand know what your right hand is doing. When the offering plate is coming down the aisle, don't hold up your check and pop it. Pop, pop, pop. so that people look and say, oh, look what they're giving. Right? Don't boast about it. God sees it. And the Bible says what God sees in the secret, he will reward you openly for. But see, the good works the world involves itself in are inexorably, inevitably, inescapably tainted with sin, because until you're born again, you're always operating in a sin nature. But the good works that a believer involves him or herself in are always to the glory of God. I'm doing this in the name of Jesus, to the glory of God. I'm doing this as a representative of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I'm giving this to you. I'm doing this for you. I'm visiting you. I'm helping you in the name of Jesus, to the glory of God. What I'm doing here tonight is not for my glory. It is because God called me to teach and preach his word, and I'm doing it in the name of Jesus, in his name. Because the day will come when our works are tried at the judgment seat of Christ. No Christian is ever going to go to the great white throne judgment. That is going to be for people whose names are not found in the book of life. But the judgment seat of Christ is when we believers will be brought before our Lord to give an account of what we did with our gift, with our talent, with his calling, with his grace. What did you do with it? Whether it's being a CPA to the glory of God, whether it's flipping hamburgers to the glory of God, whether it's teaching or preaching to the glory of God, whatever it is he gifted you with, and I'm going to talk about that more in a moment, we're going to answer for it. And did we do it unto him? Because he said there's two kinds of works. One of them will be burned up, and those are the works that are wood, hay, and stubble. You can read about this in 1 Corinthians 3. But the other kind of works are those that are silver, gold, and precious stones. They will withstand and survive the test of fire, and they remain standing, and you get a reward for it. So even religious people all the time do things for their own glory. But church, let me encourage you. Live your life out for him. Do it in his name. When you bless somebody, do it in his name. When you minister in the church, do it in his name. Say, Jesus, I'm going to serve you as you have called me, and I'm going to do it in your name. Those are the works that are silver, gold, and precious stones. Now, again, this is the third mention of the importance of good works in just 10 verses. It tells us we're saved to serve, not sit, soak, and sour. You're not called to occupy a chair and never do anything in the body of Christ. God doesn't call bench warmers. Amen? God, every Christian has a call. Now, if we weren't saved to serve, then God would take us home the moment we believe, wouldn't he? If there's no more purpose here on earth, wouldn't he just take us home the moment we believe? Well, they're saved. Bring them home. But he leaves us here. Why does he leave us here? Because we're saved. Church, say it with me. I'm saved to serve. Getting saved and getting your ticket to heaven is just the beginning. But we're saved to serve. Every one of us, saved to serve. Now, let's talk about good works for a moment. Let me go back to something we repeat all the time, but we need to hear it all the time. First, good works do not save us. There's nothing. If God gave us a million years to be on earth and try to earn our way into heaven, we could never do it. We could never merit it. We could never earn it. Never, never. Paul already told us three verses earlier in verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. What are you and I tonight? We're products of the mercy of God. Thank God for his mercy. He chased us down. He stayed with it. He didn't give up on us. When we resisted him and fought against him and ran from him, the hound of heaven kept on chasing. Aren't you glad he finally got you into a corner? And by his mercy, he saved us. But while good works don't save us, they are one of the evidences that we have been saved. For instance, watch this. The very moment Saul of Tarsus was saved, he said, Lord, what will you have me do? He didn't say, where do you want me to sit? He said, what will you have me do? That's a verb. What do you want me to do? Paul immediately understood, as Saul, before his name became Paul, he immediately understood, I've been saved to serve. So he laid his hand on me. He knocked me down on the road to Damascus, not just to get me into heaven, but to do something. What do you want me to do? Our Lord Jesus was known for the good works he did. It says God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. And he went around, what are the next two words? Doing good. Now that's good works, doing good. He was involved in good works. And look what it goes on to say. And healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. He went around doing good. He went around doing good works. Jesus was involved in good works all the days of his ministry. And again, it says of our Lord in Acts 2:22, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs. Now look at these next five words, which God did by him. Catch that. God wanted to do something in the earth, but what did he do? He laid his hand on his son, and what the son did was God doing it by him. By him. That's a good work. When God is using you on the earth to do miracles, wonders, signs, good works in his name. Listen, he did it by Jesus and he wants to do it by you. God worked through Jesus and God wants to work in the same way through us. God uses people with skin on them. Every once in a while, he'll send an angel. Oh, yeah. He'll send angels, and angels are probably around this building. Some of you, the way you drive, angels followed you all the way here. But you've got a permanent assignment on you when you drive. But watch this now. Here's the deal. He uses angels. Yes, he does. But he mainly uses you. 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 You're the only Jesus some people are ever going to see. So let me ask you, how's God using you these days? And the apostle says we should maintain good works. This means we aren't to get tired and quit. He says, maintain good works. He says, be sure you remind them to maintain good works. This means we're not to give up. All too often we start something and we don't see it through because we get discouraged, we get disillusioned, or we don't see the results we want and we give up. Paul says, keep going. Folks, remember this, because your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Even when it looks like there's no results, God is doing things behind the scenes you can't see. So you keep going. You don't give up. You just keep going. You walk by faith and not by sight. The Bible also couldn't be more clear regarding each Christian's calling and gifting for good works. Now, I want you to listen carefully to this verse. It's so powerful. Peter wrote, as each of you, turn to your neighbor and say, that means you. Now, how many does it mean when it says each of you? It means everybody. So catch this now. As each of you has received a special gift. I'm going to stop right there.
Pastor Jeff will be back in a moment. But first, I want to share a couple of thoughts with you. First, you may not be able to stay with us for the entire program, but don't worry. You can find the full program at our website, lifetalkradio.us. along with all the programs. Lastly, we get emails and calls every week from listeners just like you who tell us how much the program means to them. But we want to hear from you too. So let me encourage you to connect with us by calling 877-884-3111. Or you can email us through our website, lifetalkradio.us. That's lifetalkradio.us or call 877-884-3111. And now, let's go ahead and get back to Pastor Jeff with the rest of today's program.
Do you really believe you're gifted? Because the Bible says when you got saved, each of you received a special gift. Then look what he says, employ it in serving one another. Employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. This verse is so loaded, I could spend the rest of the night on that verse, but let me just pull a couple of things out. According to this passage, each Christian has been gifted for good works. Each Christian has received a gift from heaven, where God has said, this is what I'm putting in you, this is what I'm gifting you with, for you to serve the body of Christ primarily. And if you read Ephesians, Paul says, when every joint supplies, he's talking about the joints in the body. He's comparing the Christian congregation to a body. He says, when every joint supplies, when everybody is supplying, the body grows into the fullness of the stature of Christ. So this is teamwork. See, I need you as much as you need me. Say, Jeff, do you really believe that, or are you just saying something nice? No, I believe it. I totally believe it. I need you as much as you need me. We need one another. We're supposed to one another. See, because God gave you a gift. And if God gave you a gift, then I need it and I want it. And he says, employ it, use it. Now look at what he says, because it's a stewardship. That means God trusted you with a gift. And remember the parable of the talents? He gave 5 to 1, 2 to another, and 1 to another. And remember when the master came back to get an account for what he had given them, the one with 5 talents had gained 5 more because he had used the 5 talents God gave him. And the one with 2 had used the 2 and gained 2 more, but the one that was only given 1 had buried it. And the master said, you wicked and lazy servant, you should have used what I gave you. But since you didn't, I'm going to take what you have and I'm going to give it to the one that already has 5 or 2, and you're going to lose what you had. The whole thrust of that parable is, it's a stewardship. I don't own it. I don't own the gift God gave me. You don't own the gift God gave you. It's a stewardship. Jesus said, it's like a master of the house leaves, and he leaves his house to somebody else. And one day he's going to return and see how you took care of the house, because he left them in charge of the house as stewards, not owners. Now, I don't own this church. I don't own the gift God gave me, and neither do you. But here's the deal. I'm a steward. So I'm going to use the gift God gave me every which way but loose. Because I know he's going to come to me one day and say, what'd you do with it? Well, Lord, I did everything I could. I went on radio with it. I taught the congregation. I studied. I gave myself to it. I did my best to rightly divide the word of truth. Lord, I did my very best. And you need to be able to say, Lord, the gift you gave me, I found out what it was and I put it to use. Here's the return. And he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. How can he say well done if we didn't do anything? If he says, well done, you had to have done something. So each Christian has been gifted for good works, and it's to steward that gift, which means make good use of it. And that's what our church is all about. That's why we teach what we teach here, the growth track, and helping you discover your spiritual gift, and trying to give you venues and avenues where you can exercise your gift. And no, we don't bat 1,000. We can't help everybody as much as we wish we could, but we do as well as we can. We do as good as we can, and there's a lot of people who have been allowed and helped to discover their gift and become useful in the body of Christ. So everybody say, I'm gifted.
I'm gifted.
With a stewardship that I'm going to give an account for. Then Paul adds in chapter 3, verse 8, the last part of that verse, these things are good and profitable to men. Good works bless others, and they're also profitable to the one doing them. He that waters will himself be watered. Given it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, will men give into your bosom. What you sow, you reap. What you give, you get back. For instance, being involved in good works, did you know it plays a role in perfecting your faith or maturing it? Listen to James. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you not see that faith was working together with his works? And look what it says next. By works, his faith was made perfect. See, there's something that's not going to be developed and matured in our faith until we step out and begin to serve the Lord somehow, some way. Did you catch what I just said? Abraham's faith, we call him the father of our faith. He's known for faith. His works made his faith perfect, matured and perfected his faith. James said, you show me your faith without works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. Now, next, Paul moves from good works to the issue of dissension and division. Look what he says in verse 9, but avoid foolish disputes. Now, he's really shifting gears here. We're now leaving the world of good works. We're totally shifting gears and going into something very different. He's dealing now with dissension and division in the house of God, that it would be prevented. Look what he says in verse 9. Avoid foolish disputes, genealogies, contentions, and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and useless. Now, let me just break that down a little bit. We're to avoid getting dragged into disputes that lead nowhere. You ever gotten into a dispute that after about 3 hours you realize this is going nowhere? You ever done that? Isn't it just the most exhausting thing in the world to be involved in a dispute that goes nowhere? Now, we're to avoid that. For instance, we know that there are people who aren't genuine seekers, and I've dealt with many people in this category. All they want to do is cause confusion and trouble with questions that they ask Christians. that are designed to drag you into time-consuming squabbles. Let me give you an example. I got this one once. If God can do anything, then can he create a stone so heavy he can't move it? You know what that is? That's just stupid. But you know what it's designed to do? It's designed to cause a squabble. It's designed to cause a dispute that can't be settled. Here's another one. Well, if Genesis is true, then where did Cain get a wife? If Adam and Eve were the first and only human beings on earth, where did Cain get his wife? Man, that's easy to answer. Clearly, Adam and Eve had more children, and I hate to put it this way, this is kind of gross, but it was a sister. That's the way it went down back then. Thank God we're no longer there. But see, here's the deal. There are dishonest seekers and there are honest seekers. Honest seekers deserve honest answers. And you know what? The Christian should be prepared to answer them. But we should also be trained to spot a phony seeker and realize we don't have to sit there and waste our time answering foolish questions. Amen. And then he advises avoiding fruitless discussions about genealogies. The Bible has a lot to say about genealogies, and they serve a purpose. And a lot of us started our Through the Bible in a Year again. And isn't it fun when you get to those long stretches of genealogies? Isn't that fun? You kind of have to have a cup of major coal black coffee with nothing in it but the coffee to stay awake through those genealogies, because they go on, some of them, forever and forever. They serve a purpose. And of course, you know what a genealogy is. It's tracking a family's ancestors to discover your ancestral roots. I know this about mine. I know that Wickwire is of English descent and came from Warwick, Warwickshire, and all those derivatives of Wickwire, or Wickwire is a derivative of them. And I'm going to tell you, I've also got some Cherokee, and that's the truth. And that's where I get my wild streak. But now, if you know what the genealogies are for, let me give you an example. Dr. Luke, in chapter 3 of his gospel, provides a lengthy genealogy that traces the Lord Jesus' ancestry through Mary to show him, that is Jesus, to be the promised seed of a woman, as predicted in Genesis 3:15, where God says to the devil that there is going to come a seed from the woman who's going to bruise your head. That's talking about a death blow. And you're going to bruise his heel, a hint at the crucifixion. I call Genesis 3:15 the Old Testament John 3:16, because Genesis 3:15 is the gospel in prophecy. And Genesis 3:15 is the first prophecy uttered in the Bible. So Luke takes the Lord Jesus genealogy, starting at Mary, all the way back to Adam. What Paul is really advising here is for us to not get bogged down in endless genealogical disputes, which in his day was usually stirred up by the Jews because they liked bragging about their supposed superiority over the Gentiles. So they would get into these long, exhausting genealogical disputes. So I don't think most of you have to worry about a genealogical dispute, so let me move on. Finally, Paul advised avoiding strivings about the law. He says, because they're unprofitable and they're useless. Now, the word strivings here means quarreling, arguing. The Jews could be fierce in defending the Mosaic law, along with all the useless man-made traditions they imposed on others. For instance, the Sabbath was supposed to be a day of rest, and it was in the Ten Commandments. God said, you know, remember the Sabbath, keep it holy. There was one day they were to rest. But by the time the Jews got with it after a few centuries, the Sabbath was this incredible burden. You were paranoid to move to the right or the left, lest you break one of their traditions. So the Sabbath, rather than giving you rest, became a burdensome day. He says, don't argue about these things. Don't quarrel about these things. Don't get involved. Steer clear of endless arguments and doctrinal hair splitting. It's unprofitable. It's a useless waste of time. And I think what I pull from these little nuggets of wisdom regarding what we're to avoid, what I pull from this is, folks, we need to get discerning about what is wasting our time and what isn't.
We appreciate you listening today to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Every program we do has one main thing in mind, and that's to share the hope and good news of Jesus Christ to people who need to hear the message and to be inspired to put the teaching into practice. That's what this ministry is all about. So if you've been encouraged by the message, we would love to hear about it. pick up your phone and give us a call at 877-884-3111. That's 877-884-3111. Or go online at our website to lifetalkradio.us. And be sure to save the web address in your favorites folder so you can come back often. Also, would you consider getting on board with us as a faithful ministry partner? It would really mean a lot to us. Your valuable contribution makes a huge difference to us in helping to get the message of the gospel out through this program to people everywhere. Your generosity, along with this ministry, is reaching people in a way that you may never have the ability to do on your own. So jump on board as a LifeTalk partner by calling us at 877-884-3111 or online at lifetalkradio.us. 877-884-3111 or lifetalkradio.us. From the bottom of our hearts, thank you so very much. Have a great rest of the day, and thanks for listening to LifeTalk.